This is Radio Kate at Bletchley Park, and the garden party is just about winding up. It's time to take down the bunting and the balloons and set off home, but not before we've spoken to this fine gentleman I've just found, who's... it seems like your entire family worked here.
Probably.
So do you want to just introduce yourself and tell me, hang on, how many people you are related to who've actually worked at Bletchley Park?
My grandfather ran Bletchley Park, Commander Travis, and both his daughters worked here. One was my mother and one was my aunt. And my aunt, I think, worked as his PA for the whole time that they were here.
So when I said they worked here, a slight understatement. Actually, yes. Ran the place.
Yes, they ran the place. Well, no, he ran the place. Well, I expect, having met my aunt, you'd think she ran the place, but never mind. The thing that fascinates me is the whole sort of ethos of what wartime Britain must have been like, because this place grew from, I think, about 500 staff to about 10,000 staff in the period of the war, and then wound down to about 2,000 staff within a year of the end of the war. And the whole logistics of trying to get that to work must have been fairly entertaining.
And to do all that completely under the, you know, under the huge amounts of secrecy and nobody should know, it's quite a lot of people to have here.
Yes, but I think a lot of the numbers would have come through the military. Therefore, although you weren't supposed to know, it was you will turn up at 2 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon and discover you have a new job. And the academics, I think, it was through all the universities. Therefore, there were academics here already. Therefore, they knew who they wanted to recruit.
But still, to have that many people suddenly arriving and toing and froing from him. Well, may have raised some eyebrows.
Yeah, I was... Oh, well, I'm actually finding some of this out today on one of the tours, in terms of they had to build the huts in order to accommodate the number of people. Apparently it all started off with everyone sort of managing to work inside the mansion house here, and very rapidly that became impossible. And they just jerry-built a load of the buildings that don't actually look that attractive. I mean, you've got this wonderful mansion house and some pretty tatty buildings lying alongside it because they all had to be built in a hurry.
And they're not looking that glamorous at the moment either, because they've suffered a bit over the years, haven't they, some of these huts?
I think they got rented out to British Telecom, or at least British Telecom used them for quite a long time, I mean, like 40 years. And then I don't think some of them have been used since. And, they're suffering and they need looking after, and... I suppose the trust has to find money in order to keep them going.
It seems a shame to see them looking quite so dilapidated. So, your grandfather worked here, but a lot of this stuff was kept secret for many years after the end of the war. Did you get to speak to him about his time here? Was he forthcoming with any of the stories, or was it all still under wraps and very secret?
Everything was secret. He died when I was 8, so it wasn't relevant for... us to have that sort of a conversation, but my mother and my aunt didn't talk to me about it until I'd left university. I mean, it's completely sort of weird. I know my father, when he was engaged to my mother, didn't find out about it until he actually found my grandfather's name on the bottom of some military communique and suddenly realised who he was and what he did. But as his daughter's fiancé, nope, no need to know.
Wow, that's pretty strange. So how did you first find out the stories from your mother working here?
I think it was more by osmosis rather than actually being told. It was sort of finding out sort of what she did, and some of the stories that she had didn't make a lot of sense in terms of my perception on what people must have done in the war in a normal course of events. And gradually, bits sort of came out. I did discover that my grandfather had cracked the English or British naval code when he was in the Navy, which is how he came to be working in this environment, and he did it as something to do. And came up with a theory that, if I can do it, probably the Germans can.
Wow. So I would assume they made some changes.
Well, that's one of the things I want to find out. They did make some changes, and I gather my grandfather cracked the changes as well, so... Yeah.
Blimey. I bet his boss would have been either pleased with that or...
I think both.
Or scared.
Yeah, no, I gather both. I mean, probably not too pleased on the grounds that you don't actually like to find out that what you're managing isn't working very well. But also the fact that he got moved into this sort of environment says that somebody recognised that there was something useful to come from it.
And what sort of thing did your mother do here?
She only worked here for about a year, and then she worked at Code Cracking in London. So different, and I suspect secretarial rather than, I mean, she wasn't, although, you know, she'd got whatever the old-fashioned equivalent of A-levels were. She wasn't a professorial type, so she wouldn't have been actually cracking codes.
Still, all very, very important work.
Oh, as far as I can tell, everybody who worked here was doing important work, and it's a sort of, and also didn't know what the next person did. It's part of the sort of whole secrecy of the place. And I've met people who've, you know, lived locally, who hadn't got a clue what was going on. But then you do hear some entertaining stories of, you know, when some of the secrecy veil did crack, and an 8-year-old wants to know if he can come and help with the secret papers. Yes, it happened.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. So, you know, it wasn't 100%, but it was close. And from what we can gather, the Germans didn't find out. They may have suspected, but everyone was too terrified of Hitler to actually suggest it.
And once the Secrets Act had sort of, you know, it was not, the secrets weren't underneath the Secrets Act anymore, how did your mum sort of talk about it? Was she sort of proud of the work she did, or was it very matter of fact? I mean, I've spoken to some of the veterans here, and some of them are like, well, we were just doing stuff every day, you know. We didn't know how important it was until, you know, 30-odd years later.
I think it was more sort of reflected living, in that she was more interested in talking about what her father did than what she did. So it was much more that sort of take on it. But it was also very much a sort of, well, this is what we did. It's, which goes along with an awful lot of other people's stories, is, you know, there wasn't a lot of choice. And
this is what we did, and yet we took 2 years off the length of the war. I mean, that's that's an incredible thing. I mean, you must be very proud to come from a family with those connections.
You don't really want me to answer that one, do you? Yeah, if you've got time, you can see the citation in there, which is interesting, and I can't quote it, but it's one from Truman, which is fairly good as a CV.
Very nice. And do you get to come down here often?
I came down here when this first started being known as a trust, and donated one or two things right at the beginning, but I haven't been down for a while, and it seems to be picking up again, which I'm really pleased.
Brilliant. Thanks so much for your time.